We looked through the available championships in the UK. In terms of audience, it's second after Formula One. And within the British Touring Car Championship, you get support races. So basically, when the touring cars aren't on the grid, the time is filled to entertain the crowds with other racing series. And as part of the touring car support packages, they've got this championship called the Mini Challenge. But we thought, there's a mini series. It's within this massive motorsport package. It benefits from the audience that the touring cars bring in, both on TV and in person. And it's a lot more affordable than the touring car championship itself. So let's aim for that one.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedman, and our guest today is Charlie McKenzie from Bitcoin Racing. Today, we talk about how the 2008 financial crisis set the stage for he and his entire family to be interested in understanding the financial system and being prepared to learn about Bitcoin. We're also going to be talking about how the entire family developed Bitcoin Racing as a business to educate other people about Bitcoin. We're going to get to our interview with Charlie right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Charlie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Josh. Absolute pleasure to be on this show, and we really appreciate the invitation and the format of your show. It looks really cool and nice, unique podcast, and we were really excited to come on. So I know we've been wasting time, took ages to come on, but we're finally here and we're so excited and so grateful, and it's been a pleasure to meet you, to get to know you more, and really excited for the show.
Thank you. Well, it's good to have you guys on. So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. You ready to start off with these?
Definitely.
So the first question is, when and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
Okay, that's a good question. So it's kind of a convoluted story, I guess, but I always say that our journey started in 2008, but it wasn't because we found Bitcoin at pennies, unfortunately. It's actually because in 2008, my family and my mum actually lost all of our businesses because of the recession. And it's kind of the initial touch point for us that there's something wrong with the system. You know, the way that we always get these financial crises happening on, you know, kind of periodically, once every 10 years, 15 years or so. So it obviously gave us a distrust of the financial system, because it really kind of wipes out my family and set us back to square one, which was obviously a difficult time. And then the impact of that basically meant that from 2008 onwards, obviously, my mum was on a much lower income because she wasn't the director of these businesses anymore. And she had managed to actually get quite a nice house that we live in now, in a relatively expensive area. But obviously, with the lower income, trying to hit the mortgage payments was pretty difficult. So from 2008 up to 2020, it was only really paying off the interest on our mortgage and never the principal sum. And then, so it got to 2020 and we received a letter from the bank, Lloyds Bank, and they said, you've got 4 years left until your mortgage period finishes. You need to pay off the huge amount of money and interest occurred that you haven't been picking into since 2008. And, you know, that scared us a lot. We didn't want to lose another family property. My grandparents lost theirs in 2008. It was like systemic through my whole family because they're all involved. And we basically, my mum sat us all down and said, let's talk about our strengths and weaknesses and opportunities and see if we can come up with some idea together to save this house, to earn the money to kind of stop us from losing it, be able to pay the bank. And we went through all sorts of ideas. There was a possibility of starting a new restaurant because obviously my mum had good experience there, but it was very lucky we didn't, because in 2020 we had the lockdowns and our new restaurant would have been forced to close, which would have literally obliterated us. So we dodged a bullet. We had the idea of maybe hiring a warehouse to do Amazon distribution. So we were going through all sorts of plans, different ideas, but none of them really felt like they would be able to raise us the sum we need to get this sorted. And my line of thinking was slightly different. And because it was COVID time, we saw lockdown starting, businesses closing, money being printed. And to me, it felt like this is going to cause a recession or some sort of financial crisis. And because we knew that during recessions, because we went through 2008, that you get these big wealth transfers, they go from the middle class and the lower class like us to the rich. I literally just Googled, how do you get on the positive side of a wealth transfer? And I found a documentary called The Hidden Secrets of Money, which is actually predominantly focuses on gold as a store of value. But it taught us everything about how the banking system works. So I don't know if you've seen it, but fractional reserve banking, how bonds work, how currency is just printed out of nowhere, and ultimately how that makes you poorer, takes away your time and energy and the hard work you've put in to get your savings, and is essentially a hidden tax. And we weren't happy with that. My dad had also mentioned Bitcoin before, so I'd have to give him credit. My 72-year-old dad, so he's a proper boomer, but he had mentioned it before. So I thought, let's look into that more. And we found this is a financial system outside of the one that wiped us out in 2008. So it instantly resonated with us. You know, no bankers involved. And that's why we love the idea. So at the time, we decided let's put some of the savings we have into Bitcoin, which was a great entry point because it was around 5,000. Mm. And then literally over the coming years, it shot up to 60 plus. So it was one of the best things we could have done. It was easy. It didn't involve running a business or having people complain or managing difficult staff. It was just a great choice that we went that route. And obviously leading on from then, as we learned more about Bitcoin, we also started to understand how this has the potential to make the world a better place, to make it fairer, to stop people getting hurt by recessions and inflation. And that compelled us to try and tell as many other people about it as possible. And we obviously, our family's been involved in motor racing on a low level for a long time. Our dad got us into it. He started us off in go-karts when we were really young. I think my brother was six, so he stuck him into a go-kart and said, go on, Chris, go as fast as you can. Which is quite dangerous for a six-year-old, but, you know, he picked it up really well. And in 2020, he actually started car racing, and I decided to go off to uni. I wasn't a full Bitcoiner by then. And while I was in the library, Chris was racing, having fun. I was stuck reading books, so I'm a bit jealous, to be honest. But we started off in a championship called the City Car Cup, which is literally Citroen C1 road cars. You stick a roll cage in them, keep the same engine in, and you go racing. Mm. So it's like a nice entry level, cheap variety of racing that is more accessible. And we thought, let's wrap those cars in Bitcoin logos and present the message to people in a fun and exciting way. Get the conversations going, get it on people's radars. And, you know, we've participated in over 40 races across the UK. We've got a transporter, a big truck, which you drive thousands of miles across the country in, which has a massive Bitcoin logo on. So we feel it makes a nice initial touch point for people, so they can say, oh, today I saw a truck with a Bitcoin logo on. Maybe I should read a bit more. Or today when I was at the races, I saw this little car with a Bitcoin logo on. That's quite interesting. I'm intrigued now. And that's what we hope for. And recently, sorry to bang on, we have moved up to a bigger championship, but I know we're on the story of how we found Bitcoin, but it does relate to why we started the team. But yeah, it was the 2008 recession, learning about why the banking system is so messed up and finding Bitcoin and resonating with it because of that experience. So that's kind of how we got started. And the whole family's into it as well. My mum, my dad, my grandparents, my auntie, my sister, her babies have some Bitcoin. So we've propagated it through the family really well as well, which is nice.
That's an incredible story. And I think it's really special and unique, that that family element, that you learned about Bitcoin sort of at the same time. I didn't realize that Bitcoin racing was primarily a family affair as well. So looking forward to digging into more of that after the rest of these questions.
Cool.
The second question, though, is what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's more along the lines of understanding, you know, how the currency that they're using works, because that's what resonated with us. It's the fact that when you go to work every day and you try so hard to save money, and for a lot of people, you can only really put away like £200 to £400 a month. It takes a long time to build up a nice safety net. And at the same time, that money you're working so hard to save is being devalued by traditionally 2% a year. But recently, I think over the last 4 years, over 30% plus, you get reduction in the purchasing power. And just understanding that you're using a savings method that is not efficient, is not serving you well. And that energy that it takes to get your £400 a month in savings, for a lot of people, some people can't even do that. They can't even save a penny. But for those that do, the energy that you go through to save that money, to then have it dissolve away, just because you don't understand what is happening with the system, is something I think is really important. So I guess what they need to learn is how the system's working, what's causing inflation, and then how Bitcoin's an alternative by having that cap supply, no bankers, no CEO to kind of mess with the system, change the rules. And you can know and live comfortably that Bitcoin is always going to operate exactly as the code sets out, and there will be no changes to it, no nonsense, and no corrupt parties doing anything bad. And also how when you take those savings and you put it into Bitcoin, you could actually get an annual return of 75% on average, rather than minus 2% guaranteed per year. Mm. And the other thing is that the inflation rate compounds as well. And that's when it gets really dangerous. Like it's not just 2% each year. It's the combined inflation over the years that is hitting you. And obviously with products and services getting more expensive at the same time, I think it's just an understanding of how the banking system is working. And really, I wish schools taught us that, but there's clearly a reason why they don't, so that we join the workforce, save up just enough to kind of be able to pay for any disasters that may come up, and get stuck serving in the corporate world as, what do we call them? I think the word is, I can't remember the word. It's a bit rude, so I won't say it, but yeah, you just get stuck in the corporate world. So I think
of like the term golden handcuffs as well.
There people you go. Just, that's it. The rat race was the word I was looking for.
Yes, definitely a temptation to stay in once you are comfortable. And that's a major danger. So question number three is, what's the Bitcoin resource that you most recommend to other people?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I loved reading the Bitcoin Standard. I thought that was an amazing book, talking about the history of money. And I found it really interesting how when you look at China and India, during the time when the world was predominantly using a gold standard, and they actually chose to use silver, they chose the wrong currency, the currency that's not the hardest one, and it set them back, you know, tens, hundreds of years in their development as countries, because they chose the wrong money. And it feels to me like the hardest money we now have that countries should be choosing is Bitcoin, because it is obviously the hardest form of money we now have. Much, much less inflation than gold at some point when we get there, when we've gone through enough halvings and there's no more production. You know, countries like El Salvador, they're really on the case, and they're going to be way ahead, because it is obviously the hardest form of money. And if countries continue to use the weak money, they're going to fall behind big time. And I found that really interesting. And it just seems so obvious that Bitcoin is the next alternative in that kind of history of money. But also The Hidden Secrets of Money on YouTube. Some people don't like to read a book. They might just prefer a nice documentary. And it's actually done by a guy with dyslexia, because usually finance and economics is known as a very technical subject that people find hard to understand. But because he's dyslexic and also found it hard to understand, he decided to try and really simplify it and make it very understandable. And that's what that documentary does really, really well. And to be honest, that's the reason we started with Bitcoin. So start with a nice, easy documentary when you're chilling out. And then when you've kind of clicked, get the Bitcoin standard to make it stronger. And I think after we read that, that's when the Bitcoin racing team kind of started.
Question number four is, beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or Bitcoin racing recently?
Well, that's a good question. I think for me, something that massively changed in my life was like when I was at uni and hadn't studied Bitcoin and money, my literal plan was to leave uni, try and get a job that pays the best I can, get a car on finance, get my mortgage, get the nice clothes and kind of give off the image that I am doing really well in life and really wealthy. It's a path a lot of people take. As you move up the corporate ladder, rather than actually having more expendable income and more savings, people get a bigger house or they get a nicer car, they increase their credit card debt and they get stuck in a cycle which you literally can't escape from. And it may look good on the outside, but the minute something happens, an economic crisis or, you have a big bill you need to pay for, you're absolutely stuffed. So finding Bitcoin just made me realize that, the value of saving money and rather than trying to show off to people to look like you're being successful, buying the designer clothes, which I always used to do. Like whenever it was Christmas and I got some money, I'd go to the outlets, to Ralph Lauren, and just buy a load of rubbish that I didn't need and no one cares about. No one cares about the car you drive or what you're wearing. It's literally irrelevant. I just, sometimes when you've got a nice car, you might get some looks, people will give you a compliment. But the value of having savings and strong investments and the ability to have freedom later on is much more worthwhile and a much better place to put your money. So now literally all my clothes, I hate going shopping now. I have a banger of a car because I just want to save in Bitcoin, literally. So if I ever have a crisis now or I need to go to another country for whatever reason or there's an event that comes up, I'm not going to struggle to sort it out because I've been sensible with my money. And even if it's not Bitcoin that people find it, at least save in the S&P 500 or do something just to protect yourself and don't worry what other people think. So it's really like I was very consumeristic, worried about what people were thinking. And now I've moved away from that for the long term time preference. I think for me, that's been the best thing. And I suppose for the race team, it's the ability to just stay consistent and to believe in the mission and the development of Bitcoin. And, I think when we started, I'm pretty sure we caused the bear market because we started and then the Bitcoin just started dropping dramatically ever since Bitcoin racing was born. So I suppose I should apologize to everyone for putting them through that. But knowing that the system is growing, there's going to be more people coming into Bitcoin, the price is likely to go up just because of the halvings and the reduced supply and more interest. That would mean that companies in the Bitcoin space will have more marketing budgets. They'll be more likely to do some fun and exciting marketing. And hopefully some of that will come towards Bitcoin racing so we can move up the ranks in motorsports and go a bit further. So I think if I was running just a normal race team, I would have given up a long time ago. But it's that feeling of knowing that the Bitcoin space in general is going to improve. The halvings are going to make the price go up. I know that sounds a bit selfish, but it can lead to more opportunity for sponsorship partnerships and other nice partnerships we can build with businesses as well. Obviously, when they've got more capital and they're not in the depths of the Bitcoin racing bear market.
Well, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of Bitcoiners out there who are very thankful to you if you're the one who caused the bear market because they had one last chance to buy Bitcoin under $20,000, assuming they had savings at the time. So yeah. there are some very positive things about bear markets, even though they can be difficult.
I agree.
So now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question, and is this: as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
It's definitely better to ask why. I hope people say that, but you know, better to be more inquisitive and to understand how systems are working. You know, not to say, why is money working like this? Why am I getting poorer? And I actually studied biomedical science at uni and then genetics. So one of the good things that came from that, obviously, apart from the student debt, was that you think more critically. And if you're presented with a piece of research or some scientific literature that you're looking at, you always have to ask, why have they achieved this result? What have they done to get there? And have they used the appropriate methods to reach that point? So you always need to critically analyze and review information you're being presented with, which is why I think, to be honest, I'm quite distrustful when I hear information and ask, why is that being presented to me, and where are the sources from? And I think that's definitely a better question. Why not doesn't really lead you to much learning or understanding, but why obviously opens up a door for a lot more kind of enlightenment, I guess.
Mm-hmm. If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. So, Charlie, we're here today to talk about Bitcoin racing. You've talked about it some already, and I think there's probably two main directions to take this. First of all, a little bit about racing, the type of racing you're doing and what that looks like, as well as how you incorporate Bitcoin into what you're doing. So maybe if you could just catch us up on what type of racing you're doing, what that looks like, and about the sport in general.
Definitely. So we started off in the entry-level championship in the Citroen C1s, but it's more like a hobbyist championship, and it's not a professional one. It's kind of people who want to dip their toes in, try some racing, and have some fun on the weekends. And it's not the kind of series that attracts a large number of participants. There's no television time, for example, and the crowds are predominantly the supporters of the other teams racing on the day. So we did 2 years in that championship. It was amazing practice for Chris because it's a front wheel drive, 60 horsepower car, and you know, mastering how to drive a front wheel car, that was brilliant for him. And he's become a really good driver. And then in order to actually present the Bitcoin message to more people and get it out there in front of larger audiences, we needed to look for a championship that had the TV time, brings in tens of thousands of spectators. And so we looked through the available championships in the UK, and we actually have the third largest series in the UK It's the biggest UK one, but in terms of audience, it's second after Formula One. So it still gets massive audience. And within the British Touring Car Championship, you get support races. So basically, when the touring cars aren't on the grid, the time is filled to entertain the crowds with other racing series. And as part of the touring car support packages, they've got this championship called the Mini Challenge. So it uses the JCW Mini, 300 horsepower sequential gearbox. But because it's minis as well, it's actually more affordable than the Touring Car Championship, which can cost from £500,000 to £1 million per season. Mm. So it's big money. But we thought there's a mini series. It's within this massive motorsport package. It benefits from the audience that the touring cars bring in, both on TV and in person. And it's a lot more affordable than the Touring Car Championship itself. So let's aim for that one. And we've managed to get Chris a mini and a few sponsors as well. A mining company called Green Mining Dow, and actually a company he works for in London called Archax, who were really cool to support their own staff member, which we found amazing. And they're an exchange that's regulated in London, so they can't get up to any mischievous behavior like FTX, for example. So it's been great to have them as well. And a few other companies on board as well, which has been brilliant. So we managed to get Chris in the minis, and we've now completed 18 races. The races have been on ITV4. Over the season, you get over 40,000 people per race weekend. So it's incredible, the atmosphere and the number of people that come along. And it's been a really interesting experience for us, because we're going from a hobby championship to a professional elite motorsport series. So that's been interesting, because as we mentioned, as a small family team, we've got an apprentice who's 17 called Taylan, and my dad, who's 72, who looks after the management of the car. So they do a lot of the mechanics for us. But compared to some of the other teams in that series, for example, there's a team called Accelerate. They've got 10 cars in the mini challenge. And by having 10 cars, you can compare data between the vehicles. You can compare the setups between them. And you can say, okay, this car with this setup achieved the fastest lap time. We're going to copy that setup on all the other ones in our team. We've also got a team in the series called Napa, who are the Touring Car Championship champions. They've got 4 minis in the series as well. So competing against them hasn't been easy. Obviously, with a slightly lower budget than the big teams and a smaller team, keeping up with them has been a learning process, but a really fun one. And we hope that we can take what we've learnt to progress further on, hopefully again in the mini challenge next year, to get some much better results. So he has achieved a few podiums, which has been awesome. And then hopefully to move up the ranks to bigger series with more viewers, more people who we can orange pill, basically. So that's basically the mission and how it's been going so far.
So 2 questions here. What, how many cars usually are racing? You've just described, 10 cars for one, 4 for another. There's you. Is it usually like 15 to 20 cars all at once? Are there series? And then the next question would be, are you planning, is the next step to hop up to touring, or are there some steps between where you are now and touring?
Great question. So I think in the mini challenge, they've got two types of car setups that race in the same race. So for some reason, I always overcomplicate this, but you have the minis with a sequential gearbox, which is a gearbox where you pull it towards you to go up, or you push it away from you to shift down the gears. And those cars have about 300 horsepower. And to make the championship more affordable again, there's a class called the sports class, which uses a traditional H pattern gearbox. And they're about 25 horsepower less. And we're actually in that one. So that series has only 6 cars. And then the series that they basically start one grid space ahead of us. And there's about 16 or 17 in that one. So you get over 20 cars on the grid. The sports series with the H pattern gearbox is a new one that's come in this year. We did start the series in the full spec in the faster cars with the sequential gearbox, but it actually proved to be very unreliable and a difficult gearbox to manage. It obviously gets put through a hell of a lot of stress, and that means the gearbox break very regularly. And actually on our first race, Chris was at a track called Donington Park, and he was going down what we call Craner Curves, which is like a big downwards hill, a right corner into a left-hand bend. And his gearbox went on the way down there, and it's actually full power, 100% throttle going down there. So it's over 100 miles an hour, and his gearbox went and it spanned the car around. He literally shot round, absolutely yacked himself. I'm being polite with that wording. that was a nasty experience for him. So that meant that our qualifying for the round was compromised. And throughout the entire night, we got the parts for the gearbox, replaced them. We were ready for the race by some miracle the next day, starting from the back. And in that race, the gearbox died on us again. And we just thought, we're not going to be able to keep up with that. If the gearbox is going to behave like that on a regular basis, the bills are going to be just too high for us. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that, you know, is going to be sustainable. For the current time for the team, that's not sustainable. But we do hope to move back up to the main championship, because obviously being nearer the front, you get more camera time. It's more recognized as like the more elite series in the minis. But for Chris, it's been a great opportunity for us, one, to be able to complete the full championship, and two, for him to get loads of amazing experience with a much faster car than he's used to. So hopefully, and now to talk about like the progression of where the team wants to go next year, back to the full spec with hopefully a better budget, so that Chris can be more towards the front of the grid, being that more, the main star of the show in the minis, basically. It'd be nice to get him up there. And then moving forwards, we're quite interested in some of the other support races. So we've got a five-year plan. It would be the Caymans, which is a Porsche Cayman Cup, which is, again, a support race. Then the Porsche Carrera Cup, which uses 911s, these beautiful cars. They sound unbelievable. And then potentially in year four, we'd like to go more international, so to race in multiple different countries, because we can obviously reach even more people doing that. And there's a championship called the Porsche Super Cup, uses the same 911s, but it's actually the support race of Formula One. So like I said, with the touring cars, when the touring cars aren't on the grid, the minis are out. When the Formula One cars aren't on the grid, the Porsche Super Cup is on the grid. So they benefit from the millions of people that come to the races and the millions of people that watch the TV shows. So it'd be very cool to try and get him into the Porsche Super Cup. And then in year five, it's debatable, like maybe do Porsches again or try the Touring Car Championship, being the elite series in the UK. And that last year, I think it had 83 million viewers. It's broadcasted all over the world on TikTok. All 30 races are televised, so it's got 10 more races each season, and just a huge championship. It's one of the most famous sports in the country. So it's going to be interesting trying to find a route to get there. We hope we can. We know it's having a great impact. And for example, just being in the same grid as the touring cars, we put leaflets out on our table outside the front of the car. We let people come and take pictures. And it's just crazy the amount of materials that people are taking from our table. Like, I don't have to go up to people and say, hey, have you heard about Bitcoin? Like Jehovah's Witness. They literally are coming to the table and taking leaflets. We've got one pages from an app called Get Wiser, which you can earn Bitcoin on when you learn. So it's got a one pager about Bitcoin and why it's such a groundbreaking tool. And then obviously links to go and learn more on the app. We've had the Bitcoin diplomas, which fly off the shelf. We've given out like 30 of them, which people have taken. Green Mining Dow, the mining company, they actually heat mangoes with the excess energy from the mining machines. And they gave us a load of mangoes, which people take. So I was so surprised by the amount of resources that people are just taking willingly. And I think that's a really good signal that people are now seeing this really cool car. They're coming to the track because they love motorsports. And now they're seeing Bitcoin connected with something that they love and they're passionate about. And rather than being like a negative first touch point like ours was, it's a really positive and exciting one. And if you think about how racing works psychologically, if you think of Red Bull, you don't really think of the drink. You think of luxury and Formula One racing and these drivers and all the other, like the dirt racing they do and the aeroplanes and the stunts and all the cool stuff. And that's why it's amazing for brands, because if your brand is there alongside some amazing, really cool and exciting events, whenever you think of the brand, you think of something positive. And brand favorability is a huge thing that makes people choose to buy from them. So you can see why it's such a like a groundbreaking thing and why so many companies are involved in motorsports. Because if you think about like Ray-Ban, if they're cool enough to be on a Ferrari, then they're cool enough to be on my face. Or if DHL is good enough to be on a Formula One car, then they're good enough to deliver my packages. And that really, really influences how people think about these brands. And it's a really good positive first touch. So seeing Bitcoin on the car, something exciting, a sport they love, they're getting a positive touch point. And then they can come and see us in the paddock, take all these resources, and to do it without me having to ask them to take them and to scream down their neck about why Bitcoin is so special, and for them to take the resources to actually go and read in their own time. I think it's really amazing and not something I've personally seen before in the public space. Like, obviously, I've been to conferences and Bitcoin meetups, which are obviously really amazing, but they don't really reach the people outside of the space like we're doing. And I genuinely feel we're one of the only projects that actually gets out there. I call it into no man's land to reach the normies. And we do see it every race weekend having a positive effect, people talking to us and taking these materials. It's just been such a cool thing to see. And obviously that wasn't something that happened when we were in the smaller series without enough people. And sometimes you'll have hundreds of people walking through the paddock, thousands sometimes, all of them just interested in what's going on in this unique car. I really feel it's having a really positive effect. Obviously, some of it you can't directly measure. It's like, I don't know how many people have seen our car and then gone on to learn more. I don't know how many of them have taken a Bitcoin diploma and actually read it. But I think you would, if you could find those figures, I think the numbers would be really good.
So I know that you don't necessarily have as many people stopping and talking as you do people just taking materials, which is great because they can look at them, on their own time. But for those people who do stop and ask questions, are there certain questions that you find are more popular, like certain themes or things that people want to know about Bitcoin?
Yeah, I remember speaking to a few people. A lot of them will come up to us if they've got a friend who's already involved, who's kind of told them about it, but they haven't crossed the line yet. Those people come and say to us, "Oh, my friend really loves Bitcoin," and we're like, "Oh, so have you got started yet? Has he managed to persuade you to start buying some Bitcoin and things like that?" And it's quite interesting the kind of things they go through. And, you know, trying to understand what they know about it already and what their friends have told them. And then building on that with some of our own comments on what we believe about Bitcoin and what makes it special, and building on what they already know is really exciting. A few people think we're sponsored by Bitcoin, which is obviously a good opportunity to talk about how it's decentralized and there's no CEO behind it, and that actually we're doing this because we believe in Bitcoin is going to make the world a better place and more fair. And we do it through our own pocket as well, through some sponsorship. So that's probably the most common thing that comes up. Are you sponsored by Bitcoin? And it opens up a really good kind of category about Bitcoin that we can go into to describe it in more detail with them as well. We haven't really had any negative comments come towards us really as well, which is good, because I know in the UK and obviously lots of other countries, there's lots of people worried about the energy use, and they don't have a full understanding about how Bitcoin can help with the energy sector and improve sustainability. But in general, it's not been a negative experience for us at all. No one said, "Oh, what are you doing? That's a scam. It's destroying the planet," which is a really cool thing as well. And So it is interesting what kind of comes across through people, but it's mainly, are you sponsored by them? And then we can talk about the decentralization aspect and also building upon what people who have had attempted orange pilling moments but haven't quite gone over the curb, they come up to us and we speak to them as well. So those are the main kind of topics.
So speaking of sponsorships, you were talking earlier essentially about brand equity and how a lot of brands like to be associated with something cool like racing.
Yeah.
Have you found that your current sponsors who aren't Bitcoin focused businesses, have you found that there's had to be an education process to help them understand what Bitcoin is or help them to be okay with their brand being associated with Bitcoin? Because, I mean, it's great to hear that things have been positive for as far as conversations go. But still, like, if you don't know much about Bitcoin, if you're not interested in Bitcoin, having your brand next to a big Bitcoin logo can probably seem a little scary at first.
Well, we actually only have one sponsor that's not from like the Bitcoin space, but the CEO is a Bitcoiner.
Perfect.
So I'm sure that he's making, he's probably trying to incorporate it more into the business to try and find a way to make that fit there. And obviously, as a Bitcoiner, he probably wants his business to be much more integrated with it. But at the same time, if you've got other directors in the company who might not have a good understanding of Bitcoin and why it's a good opportunity, a good marketing opportunity, because literally if you announce Bitcoin in the treasury, you instantly go viral. But I actually know someone who runs a large company in Germany. It's like the biggest exchange for trading cards. And he's the founder of this company, but the CEO that's in place now is not seeing the value of incorporating Bitcoin into the treasury and is very much against it. And I think his main reason was, you know, there is negativity out there in the media and we wouldn't want our customers to kind of think we're involved with this negative thing. So you kind of have internal battles with companies. We would like to have other businesses come on board that aren't in the Bitcoin space so we can help them along in the journey. But more like the unique prospect for us is that we can understand Bitcoin businesses. We have the same values and ethos. We have the same mission, which is to increase adoption and bring more users. And ultimately, that does benefit Bitcoin companies in the long run because more Bitcoiners means more customers. So to be honest, we haven't really tried to bring in non-Bitcoin businesses. I just feel a lot of them would be, it could potentially be wasted effort, which, you know, sending out hundreds of emails to try and do sponsorship acquisition to people who don't understand Bitcoin, who don't see the benefit, could potentially be good in one aspect because you're sending an email to someone and putting Bitcoin on their mind. But at the same time, the likelihood of setting up a discussion and leading to a partnership in the future is probably much less than it is when you send 100 emails to Bitcoin companies, if that makes sense. So you have to kind of balance it. But we would not be averse to having non-Bitcoin companies involved and helping them along the way and describing what the benefits are for businesses. Good question.
So, Charlie, I appreciate you sharing today. Before we finish up the interview, I want to hear about, my understanding is you guys have one more race for the season. Hearing a little bit about that and kind of what your goals are as a team, as well as where people can go, especially if they're nowhere near you, where they can go online to watch the race if they're interested in that. Any other final thoughts, you know, places you want people to go to check you guys out, but really understanding your season, this last race and what you're hoping to do with it.
Nice. Great question. Thank you so much. So we have our season finale, which is on the 5th and 6th of October. So it's the final races of the British Touring Car Championship and the Mini Challenge. It's usually the most exciting event because you find out who's going to be the winners of a championship, loads of tight racing, and the biggest audiences come to the season finale. So if people want to come to that, it's at Brands Hatch, or on the Sunday, they can watch the race live on ITV4, and they can also use the ITV4 Living Abroad website link to find it and watch it in another country. So anyone can actually watch the final race at Brands Hatch, which will be really fun. We also have an event coming up on the 26th. So it's going to be a high octane networking event. So that's going to be at Brands Hatch as well. And we're inviting people to come to that to have a passenger ride with Chris in the Mini. So he'll send you for a very fast paced tour of Brands Hatch in the passenger seat. Or people can also come and have driver tuition and actually learn to drive the car, the Citroen C1. So a nice manageable introduction to a race car with a tutor next to them the whole time to actually learn to race and experience Brands Hatch, which is obviously one of our most famous circuits. It was formerly our Formula One circuit before Silverstone took over. We're also providing complimentary lunch, sim racing, and some speaker slots for anyone. If anyone wants to come and speak at the event, they're welcome to reach out, and we'll have some of our sponsors talking about their businesses and Bitcoin as well. So it's gonna be a really fun day. We're so excited for that one. And maybe there'll be some future stars who want to race with us in the team. Go for it. Sorry, Josh.
So remind us the final dates for the race, as well as where people can go if they want to keep up with you on social media.
Perfect. So we've got 5th and 6th of October for Brands Hatch season finale. We've got 26th of September for the networking and driver experience day. And we're available on Twitter or our website. So it's Bitcoin_racing. The website's bitcoinracing.co. And also you can email me, charlie@bitcoinracing.info, if you want to speak. And really, if anyone wants to get involved with the team, join us for the journey, you're going to join a family team. We're going to do everything we can to make it worth your while to join the team, to get a lot of benefits for your business. And it's all done in an honest, family-driven way. And from our sponsors currently, they're having a great time. We hope that we can get more people on board and get the team up the ranks in front of more people so we can get Bitcoin to a much bigger audience in the future. So it would be great to speak to anyone who is interested.
Great. Charlie, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Josh. Been amazing. Great questions. Really good format for the podcast. So I've had a great time.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or Charlie, you can find those links down in the show notes. And be sure to catch the last race of the season as well. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.